In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, we're going to consider the 29th Sunday in the year, which falls on October 20th this year. But before we get into that, I want to continue this consideration of contemplation and healing of the heart, which we have been looking at. We looked at the sin last time and then the result, and we're still looking at the result. And so I'm going to pick up where I left off last week with a quote from St. Irenaeus and then move on. So this is the quote now from St. Irenaeus. And since the apostasy tyrannized over us unjustly, and though we were by nature the property of the omnipotent God, alienated us contrary to nature. Now, nature for these people means the state in which man was created, that is, endowed with grace and indwelt by the Holy Spirit. That's the state of nature for them, because that's the way God created us. We lost that and fell back to a state of diminished nature. And that's what we get. Then we're baptized, and the potential now to live according to nature is reinstated. We have the divine life, we have the Holy Spirit guiding us, and we can live what the Bible would call a natural life, that is, in love with God, upright, pure, holy, just. That's a natural life, the way the fathers of the church understand that word. Okay. So, the apostasy alienated us, rendering us its own disciples. Because of that, the Word of God, powerful in all things, and not defective with regard to his own justice, did righteously turn against that apostasy and redeem it from his own property. Not by violent means, as the apostasy had obtained dominion over us at the beginning, when it insatiably snatched away what was not its own, but rather by means of persuasion, as became a God of counsel. He didn't force us back, you see, who does not use violent means to obtain what he desires, so that neither should justice be infringed upon, nor the ancient handiwork of God go to destruction. So God took the measure of justice. He persuaded us. The persuasion on the long row is mighty. Just look at a crucifix. God dying for us, so that we could be restored to friendship with the Father. Now, it's important to notice that Irenaeus calls that alienated us contrary to nature. Well, the nature that the fathers, when they use that term, they mean a man in the state in which he was created, that is, endowed with grace and indwelt by the Spirit. That's the state of nature. That's the state we were created in. And so now we're living an unnatural life, dominated by all these things. And so, so now we're going to look at some of the effects. The first one has to do with knowledge. This long quote I'm going to read now is from Humani Generis, which is a magnificent encyclical. It goes, "As it is not surprising that such discord and error should always have existed outside the fold of Christ. For though absolutely speaking, human reason by its own natural force and light can arrive at a true and certain knowledge of the one personal God, who by his providence watches over and governs the world, and also of the natural law, which the Creator has written in our hearts. Still, there are not a few obstacles to prevent reason from making efficient and fruitful use of his natural ability." That's very beautifully put. If you look at the Summa of St. Thomas, the first part, the first question, the first article says, do we need revelation? And St. Thomas says, we do because our minds are so weak, we can hardly figure out where we come from, much less how we should live. So God revealed it to us. In fact, the Son of God came and taught us so that we could be healed of this defect in our knowledge, which comes from original sin. The truths, this is the encyclical going on, the truths that have to do with God and the relations between God and man completely surpass the sensible order and demand self-surrender and self-abnegation in order to be put into practice and to influence practical life. Augustine has a great phrase, you know, in the same line. Men love truth when it enlightens them, but they hate it when it accuses them. Therefore, they have sort of fashioned their own dosage of truth, you see. Now I'm back to the encyclical. Now the human intellect, in gaining the knowledge of such truths, is hampered both by the activity of the senses and the imagination, and by evil passions arising from original sin. You know, we're a mess. We can't think straight. Our imaginations are running wild. We got fears, we got ambitions, we have lusts, you see. Easily persuade themselves in such matters that what they do not wish to believe is false or at least doubtful. So it isn't so much that we can't still believe, it's that we'd rather disbelieve and then indulge our pleasures, which will, unless we turn and have a conversion, literally kill us, and kill us for eternity. Now, there's another quote. In other words, what this part of this consideration is, we're damaged. And we have to take that into account and realize how much the Lord loves us. And through the sacraments, through teaching, through friendship, heal us so that we can live what the fathers of the church would call a natural life. A natural life, a life according to who we are as raised by the grace of God. Okay. So this now is the second one. This is a long one by Athanasius. For hiding by the complications of bodily lust, the mirror which, as it were, is in her, by which alone she had the power of seeing the image of the Father, this is the soul, she no longer sees what a soul ought to behold, but is carried about by everything, and only sees the things which come under the senses. We're gripped. All you have to do is walk into a room where everybody's watching the TV, especially if it's like the Super Bowl. They're all just... Now that's nice, but it's a little inhuman. That we'd be that gripped by such a trifle and not gripped so much by the truth. So the mirror which, as it were, is in her, by which alone she had the power of seeing the image of the Father, she no longer sees what a soul ought to behold, but is carried about by everything, and only sees the things which come under the senses. In other words, we don't know how to enter into ourselves and from the depth of our soul, see God, or what another word for that is the heart. See, the heart is the place, as I've said before, where we relate directly to God. And so, hence, now I'm back to Irenaeus, weighted all with all fleshly desire and distracted among the impressions of these things, she imagines that the God whom her understanding has forgotten is to be found in bodily and sensible things, giving to things seen the name of God and glorifying only those things which she desires and which are pleasant to her eyes. We're a mess, you see? And that's what Irenaeus is trying to help us with. All right, he goes on. I'm going to read some more of this. This is what, but you see, contemplation is the yielding to the reality of God, and that's why it heals our heart, the heart that Irenaeus is talking about. Okay, now he goes on now to talk about idolatry. You know, this real idol, you know, you make up a statue and then you worship it. But there's lots of other idols, you see. Idolatry is investing a created thing with ultimate significance, which it never has. Accordingly, evil is the cause which brings idolatry in its train. For men, having learned to contrive evil, which is no reality in itself, evil doesn't exist. It's always a perversion of something good. In like manner, feigned for themselves as gods, being that had no real existence. Just then, as though a man had plunged into the deep and no longer saw the light, for what appears by light, because his eyes are turned downwards, and the water is all above him, and perceiving only the things in the deep, thinks that nothing exists besides them, but that the things that he sees are the only true realities. So the men of former times, having lost their reason, and plunged into the lusts and imaginations of carnal things, and forgotten the knowledge and glory of God, their reason being dull, or rather following unreason, made gods for themselves of things seen, glorifying the creature rather than the creator, as it says in Romans, and deifying the works rather than the master, God, their cause, and artificer. Now, in other words, he's trying to trace out how did we become so stupid? Well, it's the enticement of our sense pleasures and the confusion in our mind. We'd rather be there. And the work of the Holy Spirit is to turn us from that and turn us back to God. As we'll see when we read that part of the letter to the Thessalonians. Okay. Now, a little bit more, we're done. But just as, according to the above simile, men who plunge into the deep, the deeper they go down and advance into darker and deeper places, so it is with mankind. For they did not keep to idolatry in a simple form, nor did they abide in that with which they began, but the longer they went on in their first condition, the more new superstitions they invented. And not satiated with the first evils, they again filled themselves with others, advancing further in utter shamefulness and surpassing themselves in impiety. Just read the history of the ancient world in any objective, the sexual lusts, the homosexuality, and, the fear of the planets, the gods, and the fear of the things that we fashion and say that's God. But to this, the divine scriptures testify, saying what it says, when the wicked comes unto the depth of evils, they despise them, but they dishonor and reproach, but the dishonor and reproach come upon them. That is, because they're moving with idols. Well, that's as far as we're going to go. There's one more thing we have to look at, and that is the notion of desire. And then I'll just give you a quote. Desire is the sickness of the soul. I want a new car. I want a new shirt. I want a good supper. I want everybody to like me. I want... out of order, it's a sickness. Okay.